Rashi poses a question at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Okay? And Rashi says, why does... Don't worry, Kenny, you're on time. I just started. Okay. Rashi asks, why does... If the Torah is here to be, let's say, a... What do you want to say? Guidebook, rule book, instruction manual to life that tells us all the mitzvahs that we have to do in life. So it would make sense that if the Torah would have started from... Right? Parshas Bo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which is the first mitzvah in the Torah. However, we have all of Sefer Bereishis, which really does not deal with any mitzvahs whatsoever, and it tells us over the story of the Avos. So Rashi brings down the question of the Medrash, says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu start with Sefer Bereishis? All of Sefer Bereishis. Right? And secondly is, so Rashi gives an answer. Rashi brings on the Medrash that says that in case, by the way, the Goyim ever come to claim that Eretz Yisrael is theirs, you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gave us Eretz Yisrael, so therefore we have a right to it. Okay? It's not that we need better PR. But there's another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create, or to start the Torah really with Sefer Bereishis, and that's because Sefer Bereishis talks about the Avos HaKadoshim. And the Medrash says that every person, Chayav Adam Loimer Kol Yom, person has to say every single day, Masa Yigia Maisa Gamaisa Abosai. When are my actions going to reflect or come to the actions of my Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And so there is a tremendous, tremendous, besides the fact that we have to know how to do the mitzvahs, we have to know how to live life. And the reason why we go through the stories of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the way that they lived and they dealt with life, is supposed to, in some way, shape, or form, teach us how to deal with and live our lives. And somehow we're supposed to be able to reflect from their actions upon ourselves to act in a certain way. So, hopefully, over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about Gemaras that have to deal with a little bit about the Avos HaKadoshim. I talk about them and try to see what can we really extrapolate, especially to our modern day lives, from the Avos HaKadoshim. This is a very interesting Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says like this. It says, Halhi ksuva al sefer ha-yosher. The pasuk in Yeshayah says that it's written down in sefer ha-yosher. My sefer ha-yosher. The Gemara says, what is sefer ha-yosher? So, right, you guys know what the word yosher means? Straight. What is the straight book? Amr b'chia bar Abba, Amr b'yochanan, b'chia bar Abba says in the name of b'yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, talking about Sefer Bereishis, which is the Sefer of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Shenikru'u Yisharim. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were called Yisharim, straight people. Shenemar, how do we know that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were called Yisharim? Tomas Nafshi Mavis Yisharim. I should merit the death, like the death of Yisharim, like the death of straight people. Okay? Now, one has to think to himself, why do you think the Avos HaKadoshim were called Yisharim? Straight people. Why not Tzadikim? Why not Chasidim? We have other adjectives that represent different levels of tzidkus, different levels of greatness. Yet here we see that the entire Sefer Bereishis, the entire, right, from beginning to end, all of Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYosher. Because the Avos HaKadoshim in their lifestyles were called Yisharim. So we have to understand, what does it mean to be a Yosher? What does it mean to be somebody who's straight? Right, not nowadays, meaning what does it mean to be somebody who's straight? Not only that, so we said, how do we know that the Avos HaKadoshim are called Yisharim? It's because someone asked to die the death of Yisharim. Who asked that? Who said that pasuk, right? Thomas Nafshi Mavis Yisharim. You guys know?
David.
Nope.
Who did
he
say?
Good guess.
Who David. Nope.
Aaron.
Nope. Bilam. You guys know who Bilam was?
He couldn't.
Right?
The donkey guy.
The donkey guy? What about the donkey guy?
Went to... I'm making two different stories. I'm making it up.
No, you're not. What? What did he do with his donkey?
The guy who saw the angels and it wouldn't continue.
Yeah, but he also slept with his donkey.
He slept with it?
What? Amen.
Yeah, like bestiality.
Yeah.
It's Usher.
Yes, it's in Leviticus. That's the only thing he did wrong.
He also went to curse the Jewish people.
Donkey
right?
Horse.
He had one eye also.
Really?
A pirate.
In the middle?
There was a pirate donkey.
One eye.
One eye. What happened to the other?
The evil eye.
The evil eye.
Damn it. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Wait, what happened to the other eye?
What?
What happened to the other eye?
Doesn't say. He had one eye.
How do you know he had sex with this donkey?
Gemara says so.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's one of the things the donkey said to him.
Yeah.
And why are you beating me? Right? You didn't do that last night. Yeah, crazy people. So obviously Bilam was not that big of a tzaddik. So how could it be that Bilam even thought to merit the same death as Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? Bilam was nowhere near the level of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
He was straight.
What? Well, obviously not so straight, but whatever. Yeah, he was straight. Right? But, so how was he straight? In what way do you think that Bilam could come?
He stuck to his guns.
What?
Hashem was able to ask for things.
He was able to talk to Hashem, but you saw what he did with that.
But just because it wasn't good, he was still able to, like, just because he was able to talk to God.
I mean, there were other people that talked to God, right? Moshe talked to God, right? Other people were Nevi'im. He didn't say, I should die the death of Nevi'im. He said, I should die specifically Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Right? And the comparison seems somewhat absurd, because Bilam's actions and Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov's actions seem very far from each other.
You can kind of say that if we're saying Bereshis is, like, the blueprint, you can say Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, like, followed it, and he's at the end of his life, he's realizing that he didn't. So it's kind of like,
yeah, but he's asking as a merit that he should merit that, right? But he didn't do anything to merit it. Okay. So first, let's try to come to understand what does it mean to be a yasher. There's a pasuk in Hazinu. The pasuk in Hazinu says as such: Hatzur tamim pa'aloi, the rock. Complete is always his actions. Tzadik v'yasherhu, God is righteous and is straight. Right, you guys have heard this pasuk before, maybe? Parsha says Inu. Okay, who's the rock? The rock is talking about God. God's the rock, right? Not the wrestler, right? But God is the eternal rock, and God's actions are always complete. He's a tzaddik and a yasher. Now, what does it mean that God is a tzaddik and a yasher? So that pasuk, the Midrashim say, is talking about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with the people during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. That God was very yasher the way that he dealt with them. Why? Because what were the averus that the people during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash did?
Sinas Chinam.
Right? You guys have heard this before? So that is another interesting Gemara that we'll read. We'll try to understand what does it mean to be a yasher. There's a Gemara in Yuma. And Daf Tesamid Beis. The Gemara in Yuma says as such. There you go. Mikdash Rishon Mibnei Machorav. The first base of Mikdash, why was it destroyed? Mibnei Gimel Dvarim Shoyibu. There were three Averus that were rampant during the times of the first base of Mikdash. What were they? Avodah Zarah, Gilirayis, and Shvichas Damim. Avodah Zarah, which is idolatry, Gilirayis, which is illicit relations, and Shvichas Damim, which is murder. Correct? These three Averis sound familiar? What are these three Averis? These are the three cardinal Averis that you have to be Yareg Valyaver before doing them. Right? The three biggies. You got to die before doing any of these Averis. So they were rampant during the times of the first base of Migdash. And the Gemara continues. Ava Migdash Sheni, the second base of Migdash, are Oiskim, but Tyre Uber Mitzvahs with Milas Chasadim. The second base of Migdash, that they were Oseg in Torah and mitzvos and gemilas chasadim. They were doing a lot of good stuff. Mibnei machorav. Why was it destroyed? Mibnei shahoyis boy sinas chinam. Because they had sinas chinam during the times of the second base of Mikdash. Now listen to the next statement of the Gemara. Lilamdecho, this comes to teach you. Sheshkula sinas chinam keneged shalosh averus. Sinas chinam is as weighty and as heavy as all three of the cardinal averus together. And the Gemara brings a proof. What's the proof? Because the Gemara says like this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Taiva tziparnon shel rishayim mikreisan shel achrayim. The fingernails of the people during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash were greater than the entire bodies of the people during the second Beis HaMikdash. What's the proof? Is Bira Techiach. The biggest proof is the Beis HaMikdash. Shechazor l'rishonim v'lechazor l'achronim. The first people from the first Beis HaMikdash, 70 years later, they got a second Beis HaMikdash. How many years have we been in Galus, guys? 2,000 plus years? And still no Beis HaMikdash. That's the biggest proof. How does one understand that? How does one understand that Lashon Hara is greater or weightier than Gili Arayah Shvichas Dam Min Avodah Zarah? Any single one of you guys, if I would ask you if you would do any of those three averus, right? Gili Arayah, you do it? Hopefully not, right? Shvichas Dam, you do it? No? You don't think so. Avodah Zarah, you do it? Right? Most of us hopefully would say that if, you know, some jihadist came down here and told us to bow down to Allah or die, we would die. Right?
I mean, but
hopefully.
But it's the same God, no? So I don't see what.
Correct. Okay, so let's say some Christian wants to bow down to a cross. Okay? Somebody just says. Anyways, okay. So how does one understand that? Right? We wouldn't do that, but every single one of us, myself included in this room, speaks Lashon Hara. Correct? Now the Gemara is saying that Lashon Hara is a greater Avera than all three Averas, of the other big Averas combined. So how is that possible? How do we understand that? Nobody have any answers?
Each of those things, it's like it could be a one-time thing and that's it. The Lashon Hara can like really affect someone for the entire life. Like just like certain like little rumor can ruin someone's entire life. Like
true.
And, like all other ones, you like rumor makes someone happy. Like you can bail down the car, make someone happy. You can kill one person, be done with it. You can sleep with someone else's wife.
Well, he's dead for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, he's dead forever. He's not getting back. Right.
Right.
The person who.
The right circumstances.
What?
Lashon Hara under the right circumstances could lead to any of those three.
You're doing that to yourself. Like you're affecting someone else.
I mean, Gira is also you affecting somebody else. If you sleep with somebody's wife, his wife is not usher to him. You're affecting the husband.
I mean, but if you sleep with someone else, like she obviously also would be considered rape or something like that.
No, rape, but you don't make her usher.
Exactly. So right? Like she obviously had to agree to do it.
Okay.
So it's not really you doing it to her also. It's like
you could seduce her. Right?
Well, it's also that Lashon Hara, we still do it. Like you said.
But why? But I'm saying that, but obviously it's... So what? There's a lot of Averis that are easy. It's not just because the ease.
Maybe if we had stopped saying Lashon Hara, we wouldn't be in Galut, but...
We wouldn't be. That the Chafetz Chaim says that Mefurish. The Chafetz Chaim says that the reason why we're in Galut still is because we haven't been Misaka in the Chet of Lashon Hara yet.
Right, so it's not that it's like a bigger Averis, it's that we do it more. We haven't stopped.
It says Shkulo. Shkulo means that it's more weighty. Right, if you put them on a scale, those three on one side, Lashon Hara on the other side, it tips the scale. That's what it means. That's what the word means. But Amitai brought up something very funny, because if you look at the Avera of Lashon Hara, if you look at it very carefully, it's a very interesting Avera, like you don't have anywhere else. Why? Let's say I say, I don't know, Yonah's a shady character. Right, I go over to Meir one day, I say Yonah's a shady character. So I've transgressed in the Avera of Lashon Hara. Okay? However, let's say that I say to Meir, who's about to go into a business deal with Yonah, right? I go over to Meir and I say, Meir, you should be very careful. Yonah's had some shady business go down in his life. You should be very careful before you go into business with him. Is that Lashon Hara?
No.
All of a sudden it changes. I said the same thing. Circumstance changed. Right? Meir was about to go into this. It's called the To'elis. I'm doing it the To'elis. Is the To'elis involved in me saying it? All of a sudden it's not Lashon Hara. Now, here's the funny thing. Let's say Meir is going to go into business with Yonah. And I go over to Meir and I tell Meir that Yonah's a shady character. But I want to hurt Yonah by saying it? it's back again to being Lashon Hara. So all of a sudden, Lashon Hara doesn't really make a difference between the action that I do.
It's intentions.
It's what's going on behind the scenes. We find that the Meraglim, okay, were punished because they said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Correct? Yeah. They were punished. That's one of the reasons also we're in Golos nowadays, right? It started with Lashon Hara because the Meraglim said bad about Eretz Yisrael. Guys, if I say that this is a very ugly table, have I transgressed Lashon Hara? No. If I talk Lashon Hara about an inanimate object, there's no such thing. I haven't done anything wrong. So what did the Meraglim say? Meraglim said, "Oh, Eretz Yisrael, it's a crazy land. Eretz Ocheles Yoshveli. It's a land that eats in its inhabitants. The fruits are ridiculously large.
That's good.
It has giants."
But you can say like this for like, let's say it's like someone who wants to buy a table. It's like the same idea. Like they convince everyone else to change the way they were thinking.
But so what? It was about an inanimate object.
It still caused someone else to think badly of it. Like, let's say someone thought, like, this is the best piece of furniture they've ever seen. And you start, like, critical things, saying, like, oh, this is, like, a truly ugly thing. It'll change the other person's idea.
But if I change your opinion about the way that this table looks, have I transgressed Lashon Hara?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Because that's not Lashon Hara.
But, like, let's say I tell...
Lashon Hara is only about people.
Let's say I tell something to Jaron about Yonah. He doesn't know about it. It
doesn't make a difference.
The same idea.
But it's only about another person. It's not about an inanimate object. If I without telling you who made the cookie, and I say, wow, this is a really bad tasting cookie, and you taste it, and you also think it's bad tasting, I haven't transgressed Lashon Hara. That's not Lashon Hara. Because the whole point is, Lashon Hara is
very... You say that, and then afterwards you tell them who made the cookie.
That's a different story, because then you just described who made the cookie. So now it's a reflection of that person. The whole point is that when you look at Lashon Hara is very different than any other avera. There is a desire to do such avodas. It's a physical desire to do them. Avodah Zarah, we don't have it nowadays because the Chazal killed the desire for Avodah Zarah. Right? We might talk about that at a different time. It's Gemara that talks about it. Chazal went out and killed the taiva for Avodah Zarah. Gili Arayis, everybody knows there's a taiva for Gili Arayis. Right? Shvichas Damim, there's also a taiva for it. Right? Someone gets in your way, you want to flatten him. Lashon Hara, there's no taiva for it. There's no desire for Lashon Hara. You don't get any physical benefit out of saying Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a reflection about what's going on inside of you. All other avodas, you could have an external Yetzer Hara that comes at you, that attacks you, that tries to push at you, and you give in, you crack. You give into it. But it's not a reflection of who you are. People can make mistakes. Lashon Hara is a reflection of who you are, what you are inside. It's the way that you're looking at a situation. When you look at somebody else doing something wrong, and then you can run around telling everybody else what he did wrong, so there's something wrong inside of you. Because why are you looking at it that way? The same reason the Mesillas Yesharim brings down, that the reason why what the Meraglim said was considered Lashon Hara was not because they spoke about an inanimate object, but because it was a reflection of what was going on inside of themselves. Because every single thing that they said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael was actually something that God did for their benefit. What did they say? They said the peiros are crazy, the huge fruits. What's so bad about that? You would think if I would see a grape, a cluster of grapes that six people have to carry, you would say, wow, we're never going to starve to death. Eretz Ocheles Yoshveli. Or figs, or any of the Shivas Aminim.
Dates
are better. Eretz Ocheles Yoshveli. If you guys are freezing, you can turn it off.
Just lower.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm saying if you guys really want it off, you can turn it off. Okay. Eretz Ocheles Yoshveli. It's a land that eats its people. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that there were giants in the land. And what would happen if the giants noticed that there were these little people scurrying around, spying out their lands? They'd be like, oh, look, an ant. Let's take care of that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a lot of people die so the giants would be too involved in funerals so they wouldn't be able to notice the little people scurrying around spying out the land. So every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did litayvasan for the good of the spies, they saw as being something bad. And why? So the Maseiros Sharm brings down that the reason why they saw everything that God did for their good for bad is because really there was, they had an internal bias inside of themselves. What was the internal bias? Is that who were the Meraglim? Do you guys know who the Meraglim were?
They're like the second to the Nesi'im, though.
They were the Nesi'im. They were the 12 Nesi'im. They were the biggest tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael. So much so that the Medrash in Shlach says the people in Parsha Shlach, the Meraglim, were listed in order of Gedula, in greatness of Tzidkus, of greatness of righteousness. Okay, the two Meraglim that didn't sin were Kalev ben Yefuna and Yeshua ben Nun. Kalev was mentioned fourth. Yeshua ben Nun was mentioned tenth. Which means that there were three people greater than Kalev ben Yefuna, and there were nine people, right? So let's say eight people besides for Kalev ben Yefuna that were greater than Yeshua ben Nun. They were greater people than him, than them. They were bigger tzaddikim. But what was the problem? They were the Nesi'im. The Nesi'im were the head of every single, the princes. The Nesi'im were worried that if Klal Yisrael were to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so all of a sudden maybe there would be no Shvatim anymore. They didn't know if Klal Yisrael would be split up into Shvatim anymore. And if Klal Yisrael wasn't split up into Shvatim, so then all of a sudden they would lose their position of power. Because right now they were the Nesi'im, they were the princes of Klal Yisrael. So the Nesi'im were worried, they had that internal bias that for some reason inside of them they didn't want to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore that internal bias affected them when they looked at every single thing that went on in Eretz Yisrael. Lashon Hara is a reflection of what's going on inside of me. Therefore it's that shape-shifting Avera that depending on what my intentions of doing when I say the Lashon Hara, it's all about whether it's an Avera or not. If I want to help somebody else that I don't really care to hurt somebody, so then it's not an Avera. But if deep inside of me, no matter how much help I'm doing, if all of a sudden I'm trying to hurt somebody, so then all of a sudden there's something wrong with me. Lashon Hara is a reflection of what's going on inside of me. It's an internal imperfection. And therefore that's why Lashon Hara is even worse than all the big three Averis. Because the big three Averis are not an internal imperfection. It's an outside Yetzirah. It's an external Yetzirah. The fact that you can be overcome by an external Yetzirah, any person can become overcome by an external Yetzirah, given the right situation. Given the right situation, anybody can fall. And that's why the tshuva that was done for Lashon Hara, for Gidirai Shvich Hazaman of Vodazar, is much easier. It's much easier to take care of an external imperfection, right, than it is to take care of an internal one, right? If your engine's shot on your car, it's a lot worse of a problem to fix than if there's a dent in the car, because there's something internally wrong with the hardware. You got to take everything apart and put it back together. That's why Lashon Hara is so bad. Lashon Hara is so bad because it's a very, very good litmus test to see what's going on inside of myself. And how am I viewing the world and viewing the situations? Because how come I can't view somebody else like I view myself? Like, we always make tons and tons of excuses for ourselves. Tons and tons of excuses for ourselves. We can be in very, very shady scenarios, shady situations, and we justify ourselves for whatever it is. So how come when we see somebody else be in the same shady situation, we can't judge him that way? Because there's something wrong going on inside us. I'll tell you guys a scary Baal Shem Tov. Scary, scary Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says as such, that we know that it says, don't judge your friends until you got into his place. So Baal Shem Tov says like this, that what does the Mishnah mean? It means like this, that sometimes in life a person could do something that the Beis Din Shamala, the heavenly court, can judge in one of two ways. Can judge in one of two ways. Can dine you l'schus or can dine you not for schus. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So the heavenly court wants to pass judgment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Let's pen the judgment. Let's wait. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to witness somebody else doing the exact same thing. And the way you pass judgment on him, you pass judgment on yourself. The way that a person deals with other people, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you, don't judge your friend, because maybe you're right in his place. And when you pass that judgment on somebody else, right? Oh, he's crazy, oh, he's this, you're really passing judgment on yourself. Because the whole point is that Lashon Hara is a reflection of what's going on inside of you. And how you view other people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atzur Tam Pa'ala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly that ever eternal rock whose actions and deeds are always perfect. Tzadik B'Yashar, God is a Yashar. Why? Because even though the people during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash were doing tons and tons of mitzvahs, right? It says they were Isaac and Torah, mitzvahs and Gemilas Chasadim. Right? That's a lot of stuff. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still destroyed the Beis Hamikdash in a way that it wasn't recovered. Why? Because there was sinus chinam haisa b'libam. They weren't yasher. They weren't straight. There was sinus chinam in their hearts. Now, let me ask you guys a question. What do you think that sinus chinam was? What do you think the sinus chinam was about?
Anything?
You know, you think it was like, oh, I don't like his shirt? I don't like his.
Like, you don't have to be specific. Sinachim, it doesn't make the rest what it is.
True. But the question is, there was no underlying theme to their sinachim. It's very hard to combat sinachim when it's on a global, I guess, scale.
National scale.
Global too. National, whatever. So what was the sinus chinam? Anybody? Do they have any ideas?
About each other's Torahs as Gemilas Chasadim.
What do you mean?
That people were jealous and trying to undercut each other and outdo each other when it came to doing the Torahs as Gemilas Chasadim. They weren't doing it for the right reasons.
Pretty much. Listen to the words of the Netziv. Okay? When we'll see if it reflects on our generation in any way. Netziv says in his Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis, he says like this. So he's talking about, right, the Shevach Yashu Neman Lahatzik is a din HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'churban by Hashem Shayadar Ikesh u'pesilsel u'pirashnu Shayu Tzadikim b'chasidim v'amoli Torah. The people during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash were tzaddikim and chassidim, and they learned lots of Torah. Just remember that during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, right before it was destroyed, that's when all the Tanaim and Amorayim lived. So all the Tanaim lived. Rabbi Kiva lived just before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Kohen Gadol, all these people lived during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash just before it was destroyed. So there was obviously a tremendous amount of Torah that was going on. Ach lo ha'yisharim ba'alichos olamim. They weren't yashar in the way they dealt with the world. Why? Nipnei sinas chinam shebelivam zeh ezeh chashdu es mi shero'u shenoig shaloi kedatam b'yiras Hashem shetzduki va'apikairis. The people during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when they saw somebody doing slightly different than them in their avodas Hashem, in their learning, and the way that they went around in the world, they branded them as a tzeduki and an apikairis. And they came to this through, because they made the Jewish people into different groups and different camps. So they caused a tremendous amount of machlokes and a tremendous amount of fighting. And they caused everything through this splitting up of Klal Yisrael. It caused so much machlokas till HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say that I'm destroying the Beis Hamikdash. This was the Tzidik HaDin. Tzidik HaDin is always when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous in doing justice. Why? And this is the scariest statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashar Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Yashar. V'ein Soivel Tzadikim Ke'elu. God does not stomach tzaddikim like that.
What does that mean, stomach tzaddik?
He can't stomach it. He wants to vomit them up.
Right.
Tzaddikim that cause machlokas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand or stomach tzaddikim like that. Only when people deal with other people in ways that are yasher. Not with crookedness. Even if it's l'shem shemayim in the greatest of ways. Crookedness l'shem shemayim is still crookedness. That causes the destruction of the world. Right? That was the Shevach, the praise of the Avos. Why were the Avos called Yesharim? Because look how the Avos dealt with people that were on a different madriga than them. Look at the kavod that Abraham gave to Paro. Look at the kavod that Abraham gave to Abimelech. Look how he dealt with them. How Yitzchak dealt with Abimelech. How Yaakov dealt with Lavan, with Esav. People who were out to get them. Yet they still dealt with them with a tremendous amount of kavod. Because that's what it means to be a yasher. Just because, right, you guys know Nietzsche at all? You guys know who Nietzsche was? No? German philosopher? Nothing? Uneducated group. Okay. Nietzsche once said that one who fights with monsters must be careful lest he become a monster himself. People think that, okay, if I'm dealing with crooked people, I have to be just as crooked with them. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be yasher. When you deal with all sorts of people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it when Klal Yisrael separates themselves into groups. We're our own worst enemy. We do things all the time to say that, oh, this group does this and that group does that. That's not being a yasher. That's not being someone who's yasher. Look at what the Avos did. The Avos were able to be lauded by every single person who they came in touch with because they dealt with every single person with respect. No matter who it was. No matter what it was. Those were the Avos HaKadoshim. That's why they were called Yesharim. Because they were Yasher. They dealt with everybody in a straight way. They didn't try to cheat anybody. Yaakov never tried to cheat Lavan, no matter how many times Lavan tried to cheat Yaakov. Every single thing was yasher. That's what the Avos HaKadoshim were. And just because we see other people doing differently than us in life, and we think that we can brand them as a certain type of person, just remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stomach people like that. Because remember, it's coming from something that we see wrong inside of us. Sometimes we want to prove that we're not something anymore, so we brand somebody who does the same things that we used to do as a type of person. Right? See it all the time. If you used to do something and now you don't do it anymore, you've grown, you've built in yourself. And then you see somebody else who's doing that, you're like, oh, he's a bum. Not because you really think he's a bum, because you're trying to prove to yourself that you're not a bum anymore. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't stomach things like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like crookedness, even if it's L'shem Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be a yasher. When I was in Prague, have you guys ever been to Prague?
Yeah.
What? You been to Prague? You've walked along St. Charles Bridge?
Probably.
It's got about a million statues of...
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where there's always pickpocketers?
That too? Yeah. Saying it's a million statues of every Christian saint or whatever.
That giant bridge.
Yeah, it's the I'm saying it's the number one. It's like a tourist attraction here. But at the end of the bridge, there's a big statue of Yashka. Huge statue of Yashka. With golden engraved letters that say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos. Right.
In Hebrew.
Can't miss it. In Hebrew. And the story behind those letters are as such, is that there was two groups of Jews in Prague, in the Jewish ghetto. And of course they got into a fight about something or other. Very important. And one of the groups of Jews basically ratted out the other group of Jews to the government, or to the king in Prague. And the king then made a tax upon the Jews, and he collected money and gold from all the Jews in Prague and erected those letters from the Jewish community. So that there should be everlasting testimony to what happens when Jews fight with Jews. That we think that we're going to win out. We think that we can undermine our adversaries. But in the end of the day, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stomach Jews like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't... Random. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stomach Jews like that. Right? And that one monument in my life was so ingrained in my memory about what happens when Jews fight with Jews and how unimportant it is. Because in the end of the day, if we look at all of our commonalities that we have with other Jews, you'd find that they're much, much, much greater than our differences. And we have so few from Jews in the world that to make divisions amongst us is the most ridiculous thing on the face of this planet. It goes against every single thing that Yiddishkeit is. Right? Because Yiddishkeit is Yashar. And the way we deal with people is Yashrus. And that's why Bilam asked to die the death of Yisharim. Because if Bilam tried to measure himself up against Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov as being a tzaddik, he would never have panned out. And he knew that. However, the first time Balak asked Bilam to curse the Jews, Bilam said to Balak, it's not normal that even though Bilam hated the Jews more than anybody, right? Why? Because the Jews were totally entrenched in Kedusha and Bilam was totally entrenched in Tumah. Bilam, however, said it's not normal to ask for the destruction of an entire nation. Right? It'll be like as if there's a big hole in the world. It's not a normal thing. So Bilam, throughout all his hatred and everything, he still was able to think, right, that that's not the way to deal with the people. And that's why he asked that he should die the Mavis of Yisharim. Because at least in that one way, in how he dealt with somebody who was totally the antithesis of every single thing that he believed in, so at least he was able to be somewhat of a Yashar. And I'm going to leave you guys off with a very interesting story that I heard. So there was once a Zionist convention in Baltimore in the 60s, and they had asked one of the big rabbonim from the Zionist, you know, groups to come speak. And when he was in Baltimore, he slept by the house of Rav Ruderman. You guys know who Rav Ruderman was? Anybody? Who was Rav Ruderman?
He was
the Rosh Hashiva of Nei Yisrael, right? Not particularly a Zionist. At least not, definitely not an outspoken one. And so after this convention, all the, you know, the people who were at the convention came over to this Rav, and they said, we heard that you're staying at Rav Ruderman's house, but he's not a Zionist. Why are you staying there? Upon which this Rav, you'll have to forgive me that I forgot his name, said, you know, there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. With Rav Ruderman, I disagree with him slightly on one, but the other 612 were good to go. With you people, I agree with you about one, but the other 612 we have severe differences. He says, if you don't mind, I'll stay by Rav Ruderman's house. The whole point is that we have to take into scope, into understanding about how much we have in common with other people and how much our differences make no difference. Because in the end of the day, if we're not yosher in the way that we look at the world and we let those differences focus on us and we can look at other people and brand them, oh, they're this because they're different than me and they're that because they're different than me, I'm just reflecting the imperfections that are inside of myself. and from not being a yasher. So as we start off the weeks that we start talking about the Avos HaKadoshim, and a person has to say to himself, Masa higia maisai lemaisai avosai, when are my actions going to reflect the actions of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? We have to take into ourselves and take to heart that lemaisa, the foremost thing that's talked about the Avos, is Bereishis is called Sefer HaYosher. It's called the straight Sefer. We have to start learning how to be straight. Because if you look at the world around us, it's very clear why we're still in Galus. Because we're still doing the same stuff over and over and over again. And it's time to become a Yasher. Okay.